you will know if a thought is a good one, if it moves you in closer, more loving relationships with God, other people, and yourself. I'm your host, Tina Gosney, a family relationship coach, and this is the Coaching Your Family Relationships podcast, where you will learn how to think, feel, and do differently in the way you show up in your relationships with yourself, so that you can be different in your relationships with your family. Break your patterns, change the relationship. Hello, and welcome back to longtime listeners, and welcome to the podcast if you're here for the first time. I have a breathing class coming up later this month. We're in October of 2023. This class is the October 24th through the 26th. It's a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in the afternoon. It's a three-day workshop where we will be live together for 30 minutes each day. Don't worry if you can't make it live. It will be recorded, and if you are registered, you will receive the replay. So if you want to start feeling better right away, you want to feel like you have more control in your own life, you want to stop being so stressed and overwhelmed and reactive and anxious and angry, and you're going to find a lot of benefit from this breathing class. I'm going to teach you several different breathing strategies and techniques, and we're going to practice them together. You're also going to learn some things about your body and why it's doing what it's doing when you feel stressed and overwhelmed and angry and anxious. Your body is not your enemy. It's your teacher. And when we start to understand what is going on for us, we can start to learn from it. I'll teach you some really practical coping skills. And when you get in these really reactive emotions, these are going to come in handy. Now, this is a paid workshop. The cost is $49. I've kept it super affordable because I really wanted to spread these skills to as many people as possible. And I don't really want cost to be a factor. So I tried to keep the price pretty low. You're going to come away with a 30-day breathing plan that you can use after this class is over. It's going to be so good. I really hope that you sign up and I see you there. There is a link in the show notes. So if this is something that you just want, like an introductory breathing course, how do I just start using these things? And a really practical, how do I use it in my everyday life? That's what this class is going to be. Go to the link in the show notes, get signed up, and I will see you there. In coaching, we challenge a lot of things. Sometimes we really zoom in and look at very closely at a specific situation, maybe a thought or an emotion or an action. We might zoom really closely in and examine that. And sometimes we zoom out and we look at the big picture and we see, what is all of this together creating? What am I creating in my life by these models that I have? What we're trying to do is to see, how did you get here? Where are you stuck? Where do we need to work together so you get the results that you want to have? Those are just some of the questions that we're trying to answer in your coaching sessions. When we do this, we're looking for the parts and pieces that are keeping you stuck. It's often a combination of things, but a big piece of that is how we are making meaning of the world around us. I have noticed this is especially relevant when it comes to our children and our children leaving the church, which is a super painful situation for so many people that I talk to. We are thinking in ways that are keeping us stuck and not giving us the results that we want. And so we need to look at the ways that we're thinking, because those thoughts are seeds that we are planting. Whatever we plant, we're going to harvest. We don't plant corn seeds and harvest wheat. We need to plant the right seeds to get the right fruit. So we really need to examine, what kind of seeds am I planting? Now, when you're literally planting seeds in a garden or in a farm, in the dirt, it's really easy to see what you're planting, right? But what isn't easy to see is how we are planting those seeds in relationships, by the way that we are making meaning in the world, by the way that we're feeling, by the actions that we're taking. That is much harder to see. And sometimes we're really blind to ourselves. Other people can see us better than we can see ourselves. But so often we are blind to what we are doing in our own relationships. And those types of seeds that we are planting are way more complicated than a kernel of corn or wheat. But we plant those seeds every day without even realizing what we're doing and what we will be harvesting because of what we're planting. So I want to look at this concept through this scripture, Matthew 7, 15 through 20, which says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Now, for the sake of this podcast, I am going to call good fruit anything that brings us into closer, more loving relationship with God, with others, and with ourselves. And when I say others, that includes our children and our spouse, includes our family. And I'm going to consider this to be a good working definition as we go through the rest of this podcast. So please keep that in mind. So given that whatever moves us closer in relationship to more loving and connected relationship with God, others, and ourselves, let me read that scripture again in a different way. "Beware of your thoughts, which seem like they are useful, but inwardly cause a lot of pain and disconnection. You will know if those thoughts are good by their fruits. Is your relationship with God, others, and yourself strengthened by thinking this way? Or do you experience more pain, separation, and disconnection from God, others, and yourselves by thinking this way? Helpful thoughts don't bring pain and disconnection, and unhelpful thoughts don't bring peace and connection. Every thought that is not helpful is something you should examine, question, and reframe or discard. You will know if a thought is a good one if it brings you into closer, more loving relationships with God, other people, and yourself." Now, think about the way that I reframed and reworked that scripture, because that is really the basis of what I'm going to talk about, how we are creating and planting seeds that we don't even realize by the way that we are making meaning of the things that we hear, the things that we see other people do, the things that we see ourselves do. We're constantly making meaning of these facts that just exist in the world. And we are making them so often mean painful things, but they sound like we're supposed to think that way. We're going to start challenging thinking ways that are not helpful and not planting seeds that are giving us good fruit. I had a client who was really struggling to let go of thoughts that she had failed her children. She had more than one child that had left the church, and she just couldn't stop telling herself that it was all her fault. She was so consumed with thoughts that she had failed and she couldn't turn back the clock, and so she was helpless to do anything about it now. Think about those seeds that she was planting. Thoughts that it was her fault. Thoughts of failure and feeling helpless because she couldn't turn back the clock. She was disconnecting from all of her children, even the ones that were still attending church. She was disconnecting from them. She was also disconnecting from her children that had left the church. She was keeping herself so busy that she barely saw anybody. And when she did, it was so painful to her that she was living inside of her head. She stayed up in thought tornadoes that were spinning around in her head. Have you ever had thought tornadoes? Do you know what I'm talking about? So when she was around people, especially her children, she wasn't really present because she was so consumed with those thought tornadoes of telling her that she had failed and that she was helpless to change anything. She was in a lot of pain, and she only saw hopelessness and helplessness in her future and in her child's future. Now, when we are in a situation like this mother was, we can easily get stuck in planting seeds of crops that we don't want to harvest, and we don't even realize that we're doing it. But we keep planting those same seeds because those thoughts seemed very useful to her. Those thoughts seemed like they were protecting her from making mistakes in the future, but what they were actually doing was disconnecting from any type of future at all, and were not bringing her into more loving relationship with God, with herself, or with others, with her children. We keep planting seeds and harvesting fruit that we don't want, and then we wonder why we're getting the wrong fruit. But we all do this. I've done this so many times. We've all done this. If you're not doing it now, you've done it at another time, because we all have. We all get stuck in the cycle of planting the wrong seeds. So let's just, if you're feeling a little called out or judged right now, I want you to drop that, because everybody does this. And if we knew better, if we knew how to plant the right seeds or to stop planting the wrong seeds, we would do it. And we don't need to judge ourselves for things that we literally didn't know or don't know. So I teach my clients a tool. It's a coaching tool. It's called the model. And I'm going to just walk you through it pretty briefly. Here's a description of it. We all have circumstances in our lives that we have no control over. These are just facts. We don't get to change or control them, especially when they are about other people. These things, these facts, they have no meaning in themselves. They just are things that exist. They are not good and they are not bad until we give them meaning with what we think about them. And we as humans are programmed to label things as good or bad. That's just what our brain wants to do. Because our brains are like supercomputers. We are constantly learning and developing by the information that we take in and how we are making meaning of it. We take in these facts and these circumstances. They're like the inputs into your brain. And our brain kind of like assembles everything inside, and then it shoots out a meaning on the other side. And as a side note here, we never have all the facts, but our brain tells us that we do. It takes a handful of facts, fills in the gaps with a story that makes sense to us, and then it tells us, oh, this entire thing is true. But it's not. It's what our brain convinces us of. So we need to be aware that our brain is making up stories. It's filling in gaps of things that it doesn't know because it doesn't like unfinished stories. The meaning that we make causes us to feel something. The story that we are creating, that our brain is creating, causes emotions inside of us. And if that meaning that we are making of our child leaving the church is something like, this threatens their eternal salvation, I'm a failure as a parent because they left, my friends and family will judge me and my kid, they're just lazy and they want to go sin, or any other thought that is not useful and that causes pain. These are seeds that we are planting. These are the meanings that we are making. We can call them thoughts that we are thinking or stories that we are telling ourselves, but these are the seeds that we plant every single day over and over again, because we have at least 60,000 thoughts a day. Most of those we're not aware of. They kind of exist behind our conscious brain, but think of 60,000 seeds planting every single day. And then you reaping some of those crops, the ones that get watered. Remember, you can't plant corn kernels and harvest wheat. You have to plant wheat if you want to harvest wheat. Now, I want you to stay with me because I'm going to show you how you're planting the wrong seeds for what you want to harvest. These are meanings and thoughts we have assigned to those facts. And those meanings cause painful emotions like fear. I went into fear last week. There's a whole episode on fear because it's so prevalent in this situation. But then there's also shame and failure and judgment. I want to tell you, this is a very important thing to understand. The way you feel is never wrong, because it's always tied to how you are making meaning of what circumstance you are experiencing. The way you feel is never wrong because it's tied to the way you are making meaning in the world. We call our emotions truth tellers because they tell the truth of how we are thinking and making meaning in the world. And again, I'm going to say it again. I don't think I can say it enough. The way you are feeling is always valid because it is coming from the way you think. So these emotions drive the things that we do. We act or we don't act because of how we feel. Whether you realize it or not, this is true. Either you're acting a certain way because you're feeling a certain way, or you are acting a certain way because you are seeking to feel a certain way. The things we do or we don't do give us the results that we have in our lives. They cause the effect in our lives. Now think about what you do when you feel like a failure. Do you reach out in love and want to move in closer to your child? You know, feeling failure like this mom did. Perfect example. No, you do not do that. She did not do that. Do you talk to yourself in a kind way that is loving, compassionate, and forgiving of past and present mistakes? No, you are constantly recreating the feeling of failure inside your body, and that is not a compassionate and forgiving emotion. Most likely, what happens when you're thinking that you have failed is that you marinate in thoughts about how you should have been a better parent and how you should have done things differently. You're living in the past, right? This is all living in the past. And then in the present, you shut down and you turn to something to numb how you're feeling. That numbing device is different but similar for all of us. Maybe it's something like overeating, oversleeping, over Netflixing, staying super busy, or maybe even a harmful substance like drugs or alcohol. It's even possible that you might go shopping and spend money because it feels good to spend money and get something new. Or maybe you exercise a lot. Exercise is something we feel like we have control over. And so some people will go to the gym and exercise a lot because there they have control. They feel like they have success and something they can directly cause an effect by their actions. Whereas they're looking at this relationship with their child and what they see their child doing, and they feel like nothing I do has any effect here. So I'm just going to go over here where I feel like I am more in control. Whatever it is that you do when you feel like a failure, I want you to look at it and see if this is creating a result, an effect in your life that is good fruit. There's a podcast that aired earlier this year. I've referred to it quite often because I think it is so informational for parents. This was with Caleb and Clarice, and we talked about this very thing, about when parents look at their child and they tell themselves that they have failed. Well, when parents do that, that is heartbreaking for the child, no matter how old they are, whether they're 5 or 50. They both have experienced this. Caleb and Clarice had both experienced this, and it has not brought them closer to their parents. In fact, it has driven them to seek solace away from their parents. So it does not bring us into more loving connection with our children, with others, to tell ourselves that we have failed in our parenting role. Good fruit equals more loving connection with God, others, and self. This is not good fruit. Now, if your child has left the church, you want to plant seeds, thoughts, stories, meaning that bring you into more connection with God, others, and yourself. If what you are thinking about this circumstance is not bringing you into more loving connection with God, your child, or yourself, it is not bringing you good fruit. You are planting the wrong seeds. I am not simply telling you to change the way you are making meaning in the world, because that would be very irresponsible of me. We don't simply flip a switch and think differently. That is not the purpose of this podcast. What I am telling you is that you need to be aware of what you are creating with your own thoughts. You are a powerful creator. You are a constant farmer planting seeds in your life and in the life of your family. And if you want different fruit, start planting different seeds. If you want more peace, love, and connection in your family, start learning about what I am talking about today. There are a lot of resources out here for you. Don't be overwhelmed by all of them. Just ask yourself, what is the next step I need to take to work on this? And then start looking for answers one step at a time. There are many resources, both free and paid, that will help you examine your own thoughts, the way you are making meaning of your circumstances, and help you to change those so that you can get to the result that you want. I'm not telling you that you have to go from thinking that it's terrible that your child has left the church to thinking that you love that your child has left the church. Please do not misunderstand me. I know that there is a lot of pain in a lot of parents right now. And this is not what I am telling you at all. But what I am telling you is that you have much more power in your life to create what you want than you think you do. But first, you need to be aware of what you are creating. Here's your takeaways for today. The story you tell yourself is optional, and you are the storyteller. Choose a story that brings you into alignment with the greatest commandments to love God, others, and yourself. And others includes your child who has left the church. Get help with this through coaching or therapy if you need help. And most people do need help. Number two, this experience you are having is for your benefit. In Romans 8:28, we read, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." Find out what this means for you. This might be one of the hardest things you have ever done, but there is a reason you are having this experience, and that is for you to figure out what that is. Again, seek out help if you need to, through coaching or therapy. Here's your challenge. I want to give you something that will help you change your focus quickly. And gratitude is the quickest way to do that. In order for you to begin to see helpful thoughts and unhelpful thoughts, keep a gratitude journal. Maybe you already do this, but I'm going to give you maybe a way to use this in a different way. So I want you to do this for at least 7 days. And hopefully you're going to do this longer than 7 days, but this challenge is for 7 days. So for 7 days, write down 3 things you're grateful for each day. Can't ever repeat anything. Don't ever repeat anything. One of those things can be something that's easy to be thankful for, something that you're already thankful for, like cheesecake. I love cheesecake. Shelter, food, puppies. Things that you find a lot of pleasure and happiness in right now. You get one freebie every day. But the other 2 things you write down need to be something about what you're learning or how you are growing or some way to be grateful of what this experience of your child leaving the church is giving to you or others. This is going to be very difficult, especially if you are in the thick of pain right now. And that means this is the perfect time for you to do this challenge. Don't wait until you're feeling better. Now is the right time, because when we start focusing on the benefits, the gratitude, what we're learning, how we're growing, just there's always something to be grateful for in every single situation. Then we start to change how we feel. So this will help you to begin feeling differently. I would love to hear from you after the 7 days and hear what your experience of this was. Just email me info@tinagosny.com. And I want you to join my breathing workshop, October 24th through the 26th, 2:30 to 3 p.m. Mountain Time. The cost is $49 and there's a link in the show notes. Now remember, if you're feeling very reactive to situations and people in your world, if you're feeling a lot of stress and overwhelm and anxiety and fear, this workshop is going to be super helpful for you. We're going to work on how to have more control over your emotional experiences of life and how you can establish a breathing practice in just 10 minutes every day to manage your stress and anxiety. One of the reasons we think the way that we do is because we aren't managing our emotional responses to life. And then our brain is going crazy with those thought tornadoes, which leads us to feel more stress, anxiety, overwhelm. And then that affects our thoughts, which affects how we feel, and then we just get in a cycle that keeps repeating. A few minutes of breathing every day can really help you to feel better. There are very few body functions that we have direct control over in order to change how we feel, but changing the way that we are breathing is one of those, and it's huge. Don't miss out on this workshop. There isn't a person listening to this podcast right now that won't benefit from it. So I will see you there, and I'll see you next week.